Warning, this episode includes content that some listeners may find disturbing, including explicit language, graphic horror descriptions, and intense themes. Please see the show notes for more details. Listener discretion is advised. Up to your nuts and guts.
Can't believe you caught it that.
How's it going, legends, and welcome back to episode 3 of Up to Your Nuts and Guts. I'm your host, Chris Sun.
And I'm Clara Helms. Thank you so much for joining us. Last week we had the amazing Mark Gardner, but this week we have another wonderful woman, Abby, who will be joining us a little bit later. But before then, Chris, what have you been up to?
What have I been up to this week? Well, we just finished talking with Clara about Meatloaf. So guys, I need to know, like, before we get into what bullshit I got up to this week, and you've got a great story to tell. What is it he wouldn't do for love? I'm confused, right? Yeah. I'll do anything for love, but I won't do that. I think all these years later, people still don't know the answer. If someone knows you, like Clara, do you know what he won't do?
Oh, I don't know.
You don't know either? I have no fucking idea what he won't do. Well, you know, he won't share his pizza or something. I don't know, but I guess we'll find out.
Well, that's mean. I love sharing food because then you get to try like a lot of everything. Or a little bit of everything.
Yeah, well, it wasn't fucking Meatloaf because there's something he wouldn't do for love. So, if you know, definitely please put it in the comment section down below. I'd love to know what Meatloaf wouldn't do for love or, for that matter, what
vegan.
You won't do for love either.
He wouldn't go vegan.
Oh, fuck, I wouldn't go vegan either. Fuck, no. Sorry for the vegans out there. Love you. Be vegan. You be you.
I can
but
do
that's
all
not
kinds.
Me. I'm all,
I love a vegan day, but I also love a good beef
You know,
cheek
I got
day.
Tricked once. You, like, what did you say, like a beef dick day?
Beef cheek.
It's what did you say?
Beef cheek. It's the muscle here, which is really...
Guys, you heard what I heard. She said, I like a good beef dick day.
Oh,
that is
Lordy
what you said.
Lord.
That is exactly... No, don't.
Put some
soap
in That's your mouth.
You can show... Cheek, cheek, cheek. My mum did that to me when I was a little kid because I'm now finding something to play with. When I was a little kid, I got busted swearing and we lived in Ballarat and I remember mum, it was like Christmas Day or Christmas Eve. Mm. I was only little. Mum goes, go to the bathroom and get the cake of soap. And I'm like, okay. I had no idea what was going on, right? So I've walked into the bathroom. I've come back with the cake of soap. Like, look, I got the cake of soap. And she goes, now bite it.
It's the cleanest your mouth has ever been.
dude, like I've literally bit into it and then I bit a bit off and she goes, more. And I'm like, okay, so I took a bigger bite. And then she looks at it, she goes, now chew.
Oh.
I was like, it tasted like shit, man. But did it stop me from swearing? Fuck no.
No,
fuck no.
No, but
I'm
you
still
swore
swearing
more.
Today.
It's funny, when I was homeschooled, I did a few years, and we actually did a course where we learned how in the olden days they actually made soap, and often it was actually made out of fat, like beef fat and lamb fat, and they would sort of churn it out like you're making sausages, and then they'd add some other things to it. So you're probably just eating a bit of lard. So free meal.
Probably was. You know, yeah, well, it tastes like shit. And it was there. You know, parents back in the day, like kids today, they would probably fucking take their parents to court and sue them for that. But when we were growing up, you know, it was nothing. Like you got in trouble, you got the belt, you know, or whatever. These days, if you even look at your kid wrong, they're fucking, you know, take you to court, disown you, fucking cancel you, whatever they do. Mm,
there's a different level of respect for your elders these days, I think, as well.
Oh, yeah.
Or lack thereof, I should say.
Yeah, lack thereof. Mm. But you know what? I shouldn't say that. My kids are, you know, they're all good kids, and they. I think
they're probably terrified of you.
I mean,
have you looked
though.
Behind you? I'd be scared.
Hey, the kids help make some of it. Well, not this stuff here, but the kids like to get involved.
I mean, I've seen your coffee table or a photo of your coffee table in your house, and it's terrifying. If I had come over to your house and I didn't know anything about your background, I would run a mile and delete your number and block you as fast as I possibly could.
Pussy. I've got a corpse coffee table in the lounge room, guys. I'll put a photo up later on. I made it from the mold from Charlie's Farm. Madeline Kennedy's character, the Bill Moseley, guts her and kills her in the movie. I've still got the mold downstairs,
it's
so I thought I'd just
gruesome.
Pull one up. And
yeah.
It's beautiful is what it is. You know, it's absolutely beautiful. Well, speaking of dead bodies and stuff like that, you were nearly a dead body last week. This week you were away on a tell us what happened. Come on, spit it out.
I was in Asia for a singing gig and I had to go via Manila and I thought I was only going to be there briefly, so I didn't have any cash with me, and then I had to take a taxi to a different airport and it was late at night and this cab went down some back dodgy back area where there were all these little huts, and he pulled over, and then someone ran out and yanked the taxi open, and he's demanding, pay now, pay now. And honestly, I thought I was about to be kidnapped or my organs harvested. It was the most, like, I'm sweating just thinking about it. It was so scary, but I'm back alive, which is all that matters, but very, very scary. So always make sure you have cash when you go to the Philippines. But I mean, the Philippines is beautiful. They give incredible massages. So.
Absolutely beautiful.
And I know
country.
Some wonderful Filipino people here in Australia. But yeah, I guess always have to be a little bit more mindful when traveling. So that's
and
my horror
right,
story
like women,
for the week.
Women do have to be very careful. I mean, so do men. I mean, you know, we're not, you know, we can still get fucked up in different countries as well.
For
but,
sure.
You know, women, pretty women, et cetera, you know, traveling alone, you've got to be very careful about where you're going and, you know, areas that you're going into and stuff. So, you know, you're lucky to be alive, Clara. I'm very thankful that, you know, the gods out there, they saved your life. And,
they
and,
saved
and you're here
me.
And
so dramatic.
They saved you. You could have ended up gutted like my coffee table in there. That would have been fun.
I'm sure they would have sent my body to
maybe not
you.
Fun. Yeah, they would have sent the body back, you know. All right,
anyway,
well, look, on that
on.
Note, though, sometimes I've got to stop her from waffling, guys. She just gets carried away. Yeah, definitely. But I am excited about this week's guest. You know, Abby, I've known Abby for wowzers, probably 15 years.
Wow.
We go way back. So I'll let her explain sort of how we met and stuff. It was through social media. But she's an exciting young girl. Well, she's in her 30s now. Still young. You know, she's an exciting young girl. She's a horror model. She's gothic as they come. And what is she? She's an embalmer or something.
Embalms dead I'm really bodies fascinated, actually. I've been reading up about the process of embalming, and actually when I was in university I almost considered studying forensics science at one point, but then I thought, oh my god, I have to touch bodies. Oh, and like if I had to cut up raw meat when I was younger, I used to wear gloves. So I realized, no, that's probably not my calling. Thankfully. But
no,
Abby,
definitely,
obviously
definitely not
hers.
but it is Abby's calling.
Yes,
and I'm very excited. So I think we'll throw some clips up. We'll throw some clips up of Abby. Check it out, guys. When we come back, we're going to be talking to Abby Cadaver, the freakiest little Aussie embalmer you'll ever meet.
This episode is proudly brought to you by Bigger Fish to Fry, locally caught seafood. You're not going to need a bigger boat. Get on board and sail on over to Bigger Fish to Fry.
All right, guys, I'm excited. I'm sitting here with, obviously Clara. I'm very excited to be with you, Clara.
Thanks.
But I'm sitting here with somebody that I've known for, I think, 15 years. Would it be that long? 15 years,
Yeah,
Ab?
15 years, yep. Mm-hmm.
15 years. Fuck, you get less for murder. everyone, I want to introduce you to somebody that has been supporting me, and I've been supporting her for 15 years solid. This is Abby Cadaver. She's a fucking, well, look at her. Just look at her, right? Abby, put your eyes on. How do you do your eyes? Oh, she's going to bring her eyes in. That's my girl. There she is.
So freaky.
Check her out.
Wowie.
And you wouldn't, you. And she does like embalming and stuff. But we'll get into that. I wonder if she dresses like that when she does it. But Abby,
nobody scare them to death.
Maybe scare them to death.
They don't complain.
Dead,
so.
Mate.
They don't complain. It's the best kind of men.
Right?
Well, fucking, I'm going home. the only good man's a dead man.
6 feet under.
But no, seriously. Abby, seriously, sweetheart, it's good to see you again. Again, as I just said earlier, we go way back, a long time, and you were actually talking to me the other day, about how we first met and all sorts of stuff, and I do remember, I'm getting old, I'm a lot older than you, my memory's a little bit shot over the years, but I do remember, back in the day, you'd reach out, we'd be talking on Facebook and stuff like that. How's the last 15 years for you been? I mean, obviously, I was pretty much just starting out in my film career when we first met. So what's been happening over these last 15 years?
Wow. When you look back at it, it's gone so quick, but it hasn't at the same time. So I think when we first started talking, I was a special effects makeup artist, or I was getting into that. And I was throwing a horror party because I've always been a little weirdo. And you pretty much had the only horror shop in Australia at that point. I think that sold anything remotely cool.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, I did too. I had Aussie Gore. Yeah,
yeah, that's it. Yeah. And that's when we became friends, because I was hitting you up going, where can I get cool shit? And you were like,
yeah. And of course, Chris, I had the cool shit, guys.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah. And then I had this horror party and always been into horror, always been into that kind of stuff. And I started doing my special effects makeup. And from there, I made the living look dead. And then I decided I want to make the dead look living. And that's kind of where I got into it. So well, it took me a while to get into
Perth,
it.
Right, Abby, you're in Perth and Chris is obviously Queensland. Have you guys ever met?
No.
So I was talking to Clara before, because I must have like a weird moment, because I swore, and I could be wrong. Well, obviously I'm wrong. That I fucking swear all the time. But I swear, didn't you come to one of my film premieres?
I did. I came to your, was it Charlie's Farm?
Was it Boar? Charlie's Farm.
I don't think you came over for Boar. Didn't we meet then? Charlie's Farm. I waved at you from the distance, but you were doing your busy film man stuff, and I was probably too shy to come up and say hi. So I was just like, hi, friend. But yeah, I think it was.
The amount of people that have told me that like they've Mark. Been to like the premieres or something, and like Mark, and I've been talking to someone lately, guys, but I won't bring her up today. And the same thing happened. Apparently, she was at the Daddy's Little Girl premiere, and then didn't get to talk to her. Then she was at Supernova, and I was too busy there. And then fast forward 10 years later, and we finally get to say hello. It's kind of funny how it works.
Wow.
But it seems to be a thing that all these people that I know that I've never actually, you know, spoke to. Cold shoulders. Because I do have this memory of actually you and I sort of, I actually physically remember seeing you. That's how random it is.
Yeah.
So, you know,
I've known you for over half my life. Not over half my life. I don't do maths. I'm an embalmer, not a math person. But yeah, exactly. I feel like I've known you, like, you know, in my whole life. So, I don't know. For me, it was like seeing you there waving. I was like, yeah, we're cool. And like, we're friends. But yeah, it was just you were busy. It was a thing. And I was just like, hi, keep going, you know. There was multiple times I was over in Maroochydore when you were filming at one point, and I was going to pop in, but then it just didn't work out. But
I think I remember that. I fucking do, because I was going to say, like, darling, if you're Maroochydore, like, I literally live, like, you know, just up the road from there.
I just love the
but
name,
actually,
Maroochydore.
I do remember that. Yeah, yeah, you were going to come over this way. Well, look, all I can say, like, obviously, we go back to the props, you know, back in the Aussie Gore days and stuff, and I really do appreciate you and all the support throughout my career, from Come and Get Me right through to, you know, The Possessed. You've always been there, always been supporting. And I've watched you as well over the 15 years, sort of this transformation as well. You've always been the gothic, freaky-looking chick anyway. But the photos that you're taking now and stuff, they're like fucking just, you know, crazy-ass shit. But I'm sure Clara's got a lot of good questions about them. So I think what we'll do now, Clara, is we're going to put Abby on the spot and we're going to hit her up with some questions. Now, for the audience out there, I just want to do a little disclaimer thing, Clara, if that's okay.
Of course.
Now Abby is an embalmer. She, you know, this is her job. This is what she does for a living, guys. And there's going to be things that we're going to talk about, but obviously there's a lot of stuff that she can't talk about. You know, she has, you know, confidentiality within the industry that she's in. So, Abs, if you can't answer something, babe, it's okay. You know, just I can't answer that or whatever. I'll push. Don't worry, I'll push like a motherfucker to get the answer. But if you can't, it's okay. No means no, Chris. But if there's anything that you can tell us from maybe what you've heard from other countries or whatever, feel free to, you know, maybe go along that route.
Sure.
So I just want to let the audience know that we're here to have a good time, talk about, you know, embalming and all the cool shit and your amazing photo shoots and all the gothic stuff that you do. But just know, guys, that sometimes, you know, no means no, we can't answer it.
Yeah, and we have to respect the dead.
Yes.
Yeah, absolutely. And I love those contacts. Just want to put it out there. Amazing. Like an evil looking fucking.
I mean,
just an evil little bitch, isn't she?
Her look is so cool. It's intense. So I guess
she has
like
no idea she's no longer talking to Chris and Clara because she can't see.
Yeah, exactly. We're
different people now. Oh, there she is.
So obviously you describe yourself as gothic, I believe. What is the significance and the meaning of that for you?
I've never actually labeled myself anything, because when you're goth or you're emo or you're alternative, you can't actually label yourself anything, because that's not what we do. But mm-hmm. a lot of people have labeled me goth, emo, goth. You know, alternative. I feel like I'm not goth enough. Like, there's so many people out there that seem to be like a lot more cooler and I'm a lot more goth than I am. But no, I guess I am goth. I'm a cliche goth mortician called Abby. It doesn't really get much more goth than that, I guess.
So what do people misunderstand about you the most, do you think?
That I'm, you know, I'm not approachable. I come across a bit scary, a bit mean. But then they get to know me and I know that I'm literally just a teddy bear.
You don't
bear.
Seem mean softy. At all.
No, I'm lovely. I'm a delight. Ask anybody.
Oh, fucking bullshit. Hey, do you go out dressed like that though? Like, do you just say Thursday night shopping? You got to go to Aldi. Do you go, fuck it, I'm going to dress like that?
I wish. Do you know how much effort goes into looking like this creepy? I'm a lazy goth. I'm just black t-shirt, trackies. Yeah. But when, you know, when there's a good event going on or me and the girls want to go out, we put on the get up and we go out there and everyone yells at us, it's not Halloween. You know, I get that. Every time we go out, we get something along the lines of that. But that just, you know, that just makes my power stronger. So.
Mm.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're right in your own self and that's always a beautiful thing.
Well, I think you look fucking crazy, weirdo, fucking, you know, but I love you. For so
that's
you,
a compliment. Weirdo.
I mean, there's a lot of strength to be able to pull that off. I mean, you'd have to have a lot of self-confidence to be so different. And I think that's really admirable.
Thank you.
So, Clara, this Abby would be the one. Abby would be the one that would, from the movie The Craft, she would be the one that would turn around and go, we are the weirdos, mister.
Yeah. Pretty much.
That's Abby for sure.
Next episode, I feel like I would do gothic.
Yeah, you should. I feel like dressing normal would be make. Sorry.
I've got a black wig. That's as far as I've got.
That's all you need. Bit of eyeliner. Perfect. You can do everything with eyeliner, so it's fine.
That's true. Okay, so just moving on. So obviously embalming is a very unique job profession. What inspired you to pursue this line of work?
Do you know what? Nearly everybody asks me this question and I don't really have a solid answer. The only thing I can really put it down to is I'm just a little bit strange. I've always had a very morbid curiosity with death and the taboo. Getting into being a mortician was something that once I set my mind to it, I was like, this is what I'm going to do. This is what I'm meant to do. And I was terrified. I was actually really scared going into it, thinking I'm not going to be able to hack it. I'm not going to be able to do it. I'm not going to be good at it. But then as soon as I stepped into that mortuary, that was it. I just knew that that's what I was meant to do. And just getting my experience, growing through it, actually helping people, doing the job. I don't know what else I would do. If I wasn't doing this, I have absolutely no idea. So here I am.
So how did you feel after the very first time that you had to deal with a dead body?
Do you know what? The first time I dealt with a deceased, and this isn't very like gothic or hardcore of me, I actually fainted. The first time I ever had
to. Fainted?
I fainted.
Was that from all the formaldehyde smells and the gas?
No. So I feel like I had worked myself up so much about it. I was like, oh my God, I'm going to see a dead body. So I'm naturally a bit of an anxious person. And going in, I just worked myself up so much. And then I saw the dead person. And then, you know, we were out there and they were doing the embalming and they were raising arteries, which I can tell you guys a bit more about. And yeah, I just went all lightheaded and I had to sit down and I was like, woof. But then I had my little episode and I came in and I was good to go. And I've never, you know, it's been good ever since. But it's just that anticipation, I think. And a lot of people in the industry do feel that when they first come in, because you don't know how you're going to react.
It's funny because I have an experience as well with a dead body, right? So many, many years ago, Abby, I was chasing this chick. I was, we kind of dated,
that
right?
That story sounds but dodgy already.
No. This is a cool story. This is a cool story. So we went to these friends' place.
And she ended up in your living room.
And their parents owned like the local like sort of morgue sort of place, like funeral home, right? And their parents were away for the weekend. And we were all like, you know, young, 14, 15. And I was trying to impress the girl and stuff. And said, do you just want to see a dead body? And we're like, fuck yeah. I mean, who doesn't, yeah, come on, let's see a dead body. It's like, you know, Stand By Me, the movie, you know, like, let's go see the dead body. So we go down and we open up the door to go into the building and stuff. And then there's this big cold room, and I was so fucking excited, man. So we go in there, and guys that are listening now, don't hate me. This is what happened. It is what it is, right? we were kids. We were fucking kids, right?
It was a while ago.
So we went in there, and it was a long time.
8 years, the legal 8 years has passed. You can't get it.
Yeah, well and truly, right. Well and truly.
Gonna get arrested. But anyway, so we're down there, and the girl that I was trying to impress, that had dated, but had dumped me at this stage, by the way, guys. That's a whole other story. We'll save that for another episode. Yeah, fuck her. Anyway, we were there, and I was trying to be all cool. So I opened the cold room door, abs. I got so excited. I went in there with him. They let the door close on us, right? So this is like a long time ago, guys. It's not like now. They probably got things to just push a door open. Mm-hmm. Although we probably could have, but pretended we couldn't, which made it even more exciting.
So, fun.
So we were in there, and he's like pulled this thing back, and there was this sweet old man that had passed away. There was nothing, you know, tragic, like, you know, damage or anything like that. But he showed me, like, there was all cut marks. Like, he was very respectful, though, like, it was his dad's business. Mm. But he just showed me a little bit, and then he put it back. And then the whole time he fucked with me, saying we couldn't get out, thinking that I was, you know, going to freak out. But I was so excited to be in there with his dead body.
Yeah.
And I'm like, you know, this girl's going to be so impressed with me. And I, of course, I opened the door and she was gone. So
did you touch the dead body?
It didn't work out,
Chris.
No, I couldn't do it. I didn't, like, that was one thing about, like, when we went in there, is like, don't touch anything, like, be respectful. And, you know, even though he took me in to show me, it was still a very respectful situation. But I got to admit, though, like, and I've seen, obviously, dead, but not like you, Abs, but I've seen deceased people since then. And there's just something different, you know, when you're looking at somebody dead to obviously alive, like it literally is like the soul's just sucked out of them. Like, they're just gone. Yeah. I don't know how you feel about it, Abs, but the ones that I've seen, it's kind of fucking freaky. What's your thoughts on it, Dom?
Well, a lot of people actually ask me this question as well. And I find that, you know, the mortuary I work in is quite a large mortuary. There's about five of us working in there. So we've got five tables, and you can be in that mortuary by yourself. And you have deceased on the table, you know, through their preparations. And you know when you can just feel when there's somebody in a room with you? Like, even if you haven't looked at them, you haven't acknowledged them, you can feel if somebody's walked in a room, you can feel if someone's sitting at a desk, you can feel that. But when you're in the mortuary and there is deceased on the tables, you can't feel anything. Wow. So whatever is in there is us. It's not there anymore. So, yeah, like the soul, whatever, the light, whatever it is, it's not there.
There's emptiness in the room.
Yeah, Clara, do you feel like
somebody's walking in the room with you right now? Because I swear there was a shadow. When she was talking, something went past behind you. It was kind of fucking interesting.
Don't.
No, for real, man.
What is the most graphic and confronting aspect of being in a Obama? Like, the rigor mortis, like, tell us some of the gruesome things. Not necessarily.
Oh, I've got a question about rigor mortis too.
I know you do, but then I've got a question. I know where this is going.
I've totally got a question. But you're right. Answer Clara's professional question first.
And
right.
Skip to Chris's so then you can take away his punchline. Because we all know what he's asking.
Yeah, exactly. I feel like working in a mortuary, being an embalmer, we do get desensitized to a lot of things. So the most confronting, it's hard to answer because I'm not a normal person anymore. So I probably see a lot of things that normal people would find confronting, I guess. But, you know, suicides are always quite confronting. It never really gets easier looking at those, helping those people. No. But, you know, children and babies is definitely the worst, worst. Yeah. That's the one thing you never get used to that. It's never just another day at the job when those kind of cases are involved. So.
Yeah, for sure.
No. Yeah. It puts a dampener on it.
It would. Fucking earth. And being a father, you know, like that's, fuck that. So yeah, you'd, yeah.
So any strange anomalies that happen?
It makes me not want to talk about my thing now because you've gone and fucking...
I ruined it.
You know, I'm trying to bring it back on topic for you, Chris. Well, any strange anomalies?
I want to ask a question. I think you know where I'm going, but I'm going to ask it anyway. So if a dude kicks a bucket, right, and he's got a boner, right? I've read that if you die with a hard on, it stays hard.
No.
Is that true?
Bow-bow.
But I've read it. I fucking read it. It's on the internet. No, it's fucking real, right? Yeah. No?
So rigor mortis, it sets in from anywhere from like 2 hours to 7 hours, and it lasts for up to 72 hours normally. You know, kind of that's the time frame. So if there is any stiffening of muscles or anything along those lines, it goes away within the 2 days. But as for angel lust, as they call it, it may happen momentarily, but there's no blood pumping, so it's not gonna be doing anything.
So I was reading a little bit about that post-mortem sort of period. Talk us through the horrors of what happens to a body in the weeks following death if they're not embalmed, because I was doing a bit of reading.
Right.
It's pretty gruesome and gross. Yeah. So maybe share some of that with us.
So it's... Everybody is so different. Somebody can start decomposing within 2 days, whereas other people can last in refrigeration for months and have no signs.
Some people have extra parts these days.
Yeah, well, yeah. The human body is crazy. Like I really respect seeing people's bodies and just you can tell that they've lived lives. Like what they've been through. It's just fascinating. The tattoos they have, the surgeries they've had, just those kind of things is just extremely fascinating and it's very interesting. But I've forgotten the question. What was the question?
Oh, as in what are the horrors that happen to a body as it breaks down hasn't been embalmed?
Yep. So a lot of people nowadays, they're not opting for embalming. I don't know if a lot of people are doing research on embalming, but we don't actually embalm everybody that comes into the mortuary. You have to opt for it, and then we have to have signatures, authorization, and then we can actually embalm people. So most of the time, funerals have a quick turnaround, and you know the deceased don't really necessarily need the embalming. But
if they're cremated, they don't need to be embalmed.
They don't need to be embalmed anyway. In Australia, it's quite different, I believe, to other countries. But in Australia, it's not by law. You do not have to be embalmed. There is certain instances where you do need to be embalmed. So if there's like repatriations to other countries, you're going to be in a mausoleum, or you will be in the mortuary for an extended period of time and the family do want to view. And also if there's going to be a deceased going home for, you know, family traditions or a number of days, then there is like laws in Western Australia where you do have to be embalmed. But otherwise, you don't have to be embalmed.
So if you wanted to do... Sorry, if you wanted to do a viewing at the funeral, though, would you say that they should be embalmed or it doesn't really matter still?
Not necessarily. So it all depends on the time frame. You could have, say your nana's passed and then a week later you have a viewing. As long as the deceased is in the refrigeration, is looked after in refrigeration, they're perfectly fine to be viewed without embalming. I mean, embalming definitely does enhance the presentation, but it's not a necessity. And I feel, unfortunately, that embalming is a little bit of a dying art because not a lot of people do opt for it. So we can make people look just as pretty without embalming. We can do lots of stuff to kind of, you know, enhance, make it a nice viewing experience. But yeah, embalming isn't as prevalent as it was in the past.
So do you want to talk us through the process of embalming, because there's a process of like draining the fluids out and adding in formaldehyde and things like that, right? And I think you've got some toys to show us too for anyone that's watching this episode. So can you talk us through that process?
Sure. So embalming, we basically, you know, have the deceased laid out on the mortuary table. We need to raise the vessels, so we need to raise the arteries. We normally always go for your carotid arteries first. So we make small incisions in the neck. And we pull out the arteries, tie them off. We also pull out the veins and we tie those off. And you start injecting the formaldehyde solution into the artery, let it pump through the vascular system. And then after you know, a small amount of time pumping the fluid through, we snip the jugular and drain out all of the blood. And then you just keep pushing that fluid through, opening up other arteries throughout the body if you need to, until they're fully embalmed. So you pretty much replace the whole vascular system and remove all the blood with formaldehyde.
And that preserves it, is that correct?
Yeah. So depending on what strength solution you use, what other like extra chemicals you put in, that really depends on how long the disease will last.
So hang on, I got to
go back.
Sorry, Abs, I got to go back. It's fucking haunting me, right? So there's a dude, he's having a great time with a chickie. They're fucking having the best sex ever. God. He has a heart attack and dies.
Yeah.
You're telling me that's it? Like when they turn up, it's like fucking done?
As far as I'm aware, it's gone.
I don't know if she has that much experience with this.
I don't see that.
Google can piss off because it told – When I wrote Ed, right, and we're going to talk about that later,
there
is actually a part in there where they talk about, you know, the dude's still having his boner. Now it's not fucking true. Well, you've just gone.
Oh, you know, I don't see the body straight away. So by the time they get to me, they're definitely not there anymore. There is implants that, right, you know, some deceased do have, which can do that.
Okay.
But I don't
know why I would want that, but you know, you're not going to know about it.
You have some toys that you brought along, or some.
What's these toys?
The things you brought
what's going
along
on here? You keep saying
toys. Did you
want
to talk us through what some of those were?
I will show you the tamer ones first, but I'll try and explain them as well.
Prep us.
So, guys, if you're listening to this like on Spotify audio, if you get a chance, you might want to jump on the YouTube or something later on and see what toys she's bringing out, because when you got a freaky looking chick like Abby and then she starts bringing out all these toys, mate, it's going to get interesting pretty quick.
All right. So my first one that I brought is eye caps.
Eye caps?
So these little guys, they're just plastic caps, and they've got the little, I don't know if I'm holding these up probably.
They look like pistachio shells.
Yeah, they are, but with little spikes on them. These go underneath your eyelids. So we put these onto the eyeball, and then we pull the eyelid down over it. And these little spikes, they actually hold the eyelid down over the eye.
So when you see in movies when the eyes just pop open, it's not possible because the eyelids are
pinned. Shouldn't happen.
It
shouldn't happen. In some cases where the eyelids do, you know, keep opening, even these guys can't hold them back, we do actually use glue.
Abby, sorry. I got it. I know they're cool, the eye things and stuff, but have you ever been there, like someone's been dead on the table and all of a sudden they've just started fucking moving?
No, thankfully.
You know what I mean? Like fucking...
I would be so quickly gone out of that place. If anybody moves on that table, I'd be gone.
Yeah, wow.
The closest experience... No, even when they come in warm, I'm like, I don't like them warm. It freaks me out. The only experience had... I used to, before I was in the mortuary, I used to do transfers. So transfers is bringing the deceased into care from whichever location they're in. And I was helping wrap this deceased up, and you need to check for jewelry. And I was checking the hand for jewelry, and as I placed my hand onto their hand, the muscle spasmed, and they grabbed my hand. But
that's cool.
Yeah, it was just like the muscles just like, you know, and I had to be all calm and collected because there was, you know, family present. But that was definitely an experience. But that's the only time I've ever had.
Did you drop a nugget? You would have totally fucking dropped the nugget though, didn't you? Shit yourself.
I was contemplating all my life choices at that point. I was like,
she's like, don't steal my ring.
Yeah. The person had the biggest smile on their face as well. So I don't know if they're playing a prank from me from, you know, wherever we go, but that was one of the only times I've ever had a deceased like move on me. And it was only the very slightest muscle like spasm. But
I gotta be honest, I would have shit myself too. It doesn't matter. Like I can talk all cool shit as much as I want, but if I grab a deceased person's hand and they fucking squeeze mine, I would fucking shit myself. Yeah. There's no doubt about it.
It was only ever so slight, but it was something.
So let's get back to the sex toys or whatever it is you were bringing along.
All right, the next one.
Or an acro, whichever it is.
I don't know how people go how people go down that path in their lives of being nah.
I've got something else, Abs. So there's this story about an Australian woman that was over in America, right? And she was in Texas or something like that. And she met a guy on Tinder and went back. I think it was Tinder, one of the dating apps. And she met him and they went back to his place.
I've heard this story.
Right? And obviously, you know, they bought some of the toys that you've got. So anyway, she came back to Australia and a couple of weeks later she's at the doctor's because she had this red rash right around her mouth. And the doctor's like checking her out and stuff. And then they said that the rash, so the guy she was kissing, it turns out that, well, this is what they're telling her, or what the, how the story goes, Ab, is that the guy that she hooked up with was a necrophiliac. Oh. He was fucking with dead people and she kissed him and everything. And then whatever was coming off of those dead bodies on his face ended up transferring to her.
Look, I don't know if that's true. I've heard that story in
It's true. I read it on Google. Fuck, please.
I don't know.
If it's on good.
I don't know. There, you can catch things from deceased. But I, look, I don't know how true that is. I couldn't even imagine that. And I don't know how people can do that. Working with deceased, it's just.
If I wasn't sitting here letting you be all professional right now, I would be like, just say it's real and let's move on.
You look, you can have your imagination. You can go nuts with your imagination.
But you know what? Ladies out there and dudes out there, just think about it. Next time you hook up with someone on Tinder, you can end up with a fucking rash around your mouth because they've been making out with dead people.
Gosh.
Just putting it out there.
Please,
people be safe. Abs is saying that it's probably not real, but I'm telling you guys, careful who you date. They've probably been, you know, making out with dead people.
But it is real that there's a lot of toxic bacteria, right, Abby? That
with
the dead bodies.
Yeah, there's a lot of bacteria.
That part is real.
Yeah, there is a lot of bacteria. We have full PPE when we work with the deceased. I mean, we do disinfect the deceased when we're embalming, washing them, you know, giving the full spa treatment. So they are reasonably clean. But of course, if you're going to be getting involved and getting inside and doing stuff, there is bacteria. There's bacteria everywhere, but certainly once the body starts decomposing, the bacteria does multiply, goes wild in there. So, yep, there's definitely some bad stuff in there.
Okay, so back to your toys because you had a cool looking one.
This guy.
Yeah, the fucking Chris keeps interrupting with stupid stories. But,
no more stupid stories, Chris.
Let's go. What do we got here? What's
it's something clear.
So this is a mouth former. The deceased doesn't have any teeth or they're missing their dentures or you can't, you know, we haven't been supplied dentures, they don't have teeth, something's happened. This is a mouth former. So it works the same as the eye caps, except it gets put in the mouth and the lips get put over it. And that just gives the illusion of a nice full set of teeth in the mouth because you can become quite sullen. Now I've got it stuck in my hair. So that's a mouth former that we use.
So keep that mouth formed in the correct way if they're being viewed.
Yeah, just fills out the mouth because you can get like, you know, the sunken, the muscles stop doing what the muscles keep do. So you need some support in there. But this is the one that everyone always loves to hear about and everyone likes to talk about. This is bad boy.
So let's see. It
Chris,
looks
can you explain
like a butt
what
plug.
This looks like?
It looks like a butt plug. Not
am
that
I holding
I
it up right? I can't
what one looks like.
It actually, you know what it looks like? It looks like a really big wall, mate. You know those things you get from Bunnings that you screw into the wall and you can hang pictures on it?
True.
That's what it looks like, a big clear wall, mate.
Yeah.
So this is.
Blokes will get it. Blokes that are watching right now.
This is called an AV plug.
Mm-hmm. And so what does this plug? Do?
So A stands for, Chris, come on, you're good with games.
Oh, hang on. Is this an arsehole plug?
It sure is. And a V.
Okay. Oh, wow. Look at me. She said Valve? A stands for. I'm like, I know this game. I can win
this one,
game.
This one, it can be used on the ladies.
So what, but why? Why do you need that? They're dead. What do they want it for?
So when you pass, unfortunately, the muscles stop working.
Contracting.
The sphincters stop working. There's a lot of waste, can be a lot of waste in the human body, which gets expelled when the gases start doing their thing, the bacteria starts doing their thing. You can keep purging feces or fluids.
Wow.
Okay. So if we cannot stop.
Is that screw in or you just push it in? Like, is it got little stops on it or something? Like, I'm confused.
It's a push and then it's a screw.
So the bowels get cleaned in the embalming process?
Yes. So we have... So
it mitigates it slightly.
Yeah. So we in Australia, well, in our mortuary in Australia, we don't really use these.
So why do you have it? Why did you bring it home?
Because it's fun for our podcast.
Because it's fun.
Why you brought that home? I think we need to talk to your boyfriend.
This is a universal podcast and people in America probably need their butt plugs.
I'm more worried the fact that she's brought it home and you got to push it in and then screw that motherfucker, right?
Like Once these are in, they're not coming out.
No, that doesn't look like it's coming. That's why it looks like a wall, mate. Once it's in the wall, it ain't coming out.
But it's... Yeah, we don't use them. We don't use them in our mortuary. We don't use them here. If we have to do that, which is not overly common, we just tend to use cotton wool. It's a little bit nicer, a little bit softer.
I think so. Fucking please.
So that's my one little fun. I actually gifted one of these to Marilyn Manson when I met him, quite a few years ago. So
to Marilyn Manson.
Yeah.
And it's still stuck up there, the poor bastard. He can't get it fucking out.
Oh, my God.
Jeez Louise.
Yeah. So
that's my fun little toys that I've came to show.
I was looking at some of your stuff online, and it's very cool. You've got some very interesting stuff. But I do have a question about your beautiful black cat. Is she called Clarice after the Silence of the Lambs character?
She is. Yay. So I love Hannibal. I love the TV series. Yep. I love Hannibal. I love Buffalo Bill. I love all of that. I even have a death moth.
You forgot Chris Sun's films as a shout out.
Oh, yes. Yeah,
so but we're not really inspired by Hannibal, though. What was that? What were you showing?
Oh, my death moth. I think it's on this side. Is it this side or is it the other side? Anyway, yeah, I have a death moth tattoo. I've got Hannibal tattoos. I love Hannibal. So Clarice, yes, she is called Clarice after Clarice. And I also have a very aloof... of her sister, who originally we thought was a male kitty, so he was called Hannibal. Went to get him de-sexed, and we got the phone call saying that he's actually a she, so now we have Hannibal.
Hannibella, was it?
Hannibal, yep.
Oh, gorgeous.
So to
I love that.
Kind of play off the Hannibal, but had to feminize it, so it's Hannibal and Clarice.
Hannibal. That's gorgeous.
I love them.
They're very...
Okay, we've talked enough about the cats. Let's get back to some
I'm surprised
some
you
other
said
shit,
cats, but anyway. You know? What is the most horrific thing that has ever happened to you, if you don't mind sharing?
And it doesn't have to be an embalming thing. Like, it could be a story. It could be, you know, something fucked up. What's happening that's fucked up?
Broke your leg and a bone, like, protruded or...
I don't really have any horror stories for myself. One of the most traumatic things... One of the most traumatic experiences I have had, I guess, I was on a bus in London and I was, I think, 21 at the time, and I was sitting at the back of the bus, and we were on Oxford Street, and this young girl, she actually put her head out into traffic to look incoming traffic, and unfortunately she mustn't have seen the bus, and the bus hit her. So I was on a bus that hit a poor young lady, and I will never, ever, ever forget the sound that made. I hope she's okay. I was young. I didn't know what to do. Everyone was rushing to help her, so I just kind of walked off with my cousins. They, like, led me off, but I really hope that poor woman is okay. But that was one of the most traumatic things.
Oh, so I didn't, like, rip her head off or nothing.
No.
She just sort of got smacked. And...
Yeah. I don't know, but the sound of her skull hitting that window was... You can never unhear that. So I really hope that she was okay. But that's just the one thing that, if you say trauma in my life, boom, that's one thing that just goes straight to my mind.
That's a pretty horrific event. I'm getting goosebumps because that's pretty chilling. Wow.
That's pretty tame, actually, mate. You could have.
Yeah,
come
I keep
up
putting
something
a
better,
dampener on this podcast, you know? Don't I, with my my horrible stories? Someone got hit by a bus, dead babies. Like, oh no, I'm not doing very good.
It's the old make sure you're wearing clean.
It's,
you know, when we were kids, my mum used to say, make sure you're wearing clean underwear in case you get hit by a fucking bus.
That,
like,
happened.
I don't know what. Anyway,
you've
you get
seen
hit by a bus,
the evolution of undies from, like, the early 30s through to now. They were like, start like this, and then they're down to this. So there's not much.
Yeah, but it was It was like Rodney Rooter, one of them Aussie comics, that said, if you got hit by a bus, you're going to shit yourself anyway. So what does it matter if you're wearing fucking new jocks or not? Like, who cares, right?
Very true.
So, you know, that's right. And you would know. Like, you've seen plenty of it. Mm-hmm. Yep, there is a lot of also, real quick, yeah, there would be. you're modeling stuff real quick. Let's just touch on that because I was looking again today on your Instagram abs, and there's some fucking insanely awesome photos. Mm. Like, I love them. See, I love all that dark, evil. Like, it's very satanic. It's very, it's beyond goth. It's a whole nother level of fucked up.
Thank you.
And it's beautiful. It is, and it's beautiful fucked up. And I know all the horror fans out there, they're going to want to check it out. And I'll definitely put your Instagram link here so people can check it out and have a look at some of your photos because there's some stunning photos. What inspires you? Like, do you look at, like, see stuff on movies? Like, there's you in blood baths. There's you covered in, like, fuck, it looks like black oil.
Yeah.
There's all sorts of shit that you're doing in body bags with crosses over your titties. You got all sorts of shit going on. Are you inspired by movies or do you just wake up each day and go, oh, fuck, I can't wait to be in a body bag this afternoon?
You know, you're spot on. Yeah, I just see them at work and I'm like, I just want to be in that body bag. You know what? I don't actually know. I find there's such beauty in death. There's such beauty in the macabre. There's such beauty in horror.
Yeah, there is.
I love the taboo of it all. I like kind of creating images that make people, you know, make people disgusted, but also go, oh, actually, that's kind of hot. So I like these, like, I like pairing these two things together, like the horror, the gore, the gross, the slime, you know, the maggots, the cockroaches, the disgusting, but also just making it really pretty and then just confusing the hell out of people with it.
Yeah.
I don't know. I just love anything that's kind of gross and macabre. And if I can make myself gross and macabre, then you know what, I'm going to do that for fun. I'm not a professional or anything, but it's just, yeah, a little bit of a hobby. And I love it.
They're great shoots, darling. They're actually beautiful photos. So guys, if you can, definitely check them out. Go to our Instagram page, check out these pictures. There's some really fucked up stuff there, but it's beautiful fucked up. Like when you see it, it's, you know, it's
well choreographed and structured. It's not amateur. It's very elegantly.
Well, actually it's her after a night out at the fucking clubs, but you know, there's no choreographing. Yeah, she just went out, had a big fucking night and
her boyfriend's
like, I'm not picking you up. And she's like, well, I'm going to go take random photos in the cemetery. Fuck you. So then off she goes and
pretty much like, you know, I'm not wearing any makeup in all of them. You know, I put on my human suit every day, but that me on my Instagram, that's natural. That's how I look every day. I'm not wearing any makeup today, guys. This is what I look like.
This next section we like to call the King's Questions.
Question number one. All right. Which person would you trade places with for a day?
I have no idea. I don't know.
Cut to.
I don't know.
All right, next question.
What is your guilty pleasure?
No, hang on. What did you say? Did you say someone?
No, because I don't know. All my idols get cancelled, so I don't want to say any of my idols because they're all shit people. I don't know. I guess like a rock star. I'd like to be a rock star for a day.
That's cool.
All right. Okay. Groovy.
So what is your guilty pleasure?
I love trash TV. Oh, the trashiest TV, the better. It's something that I can just put on and just not think about life. Like, just the silly, silly people on there, you know, dating their exes. And I just love all that stuff. Like, it's great. Yeah. It's my favorite.
Loser.
Mind rotting. I do love TikTok rotting as well. Just rot my brain.
I love a good bit of TikTok as well every night. Actually, I like to fall asleep to Judge Judy, Paternity Court. On YouTube, but that's a whole nother episode.
So weird.
All right, question number three. What's the best compliment you've ever got?
I was at, I think, a wedding or a birthday, and someone came up to me and said, you look like you're dead. Huh? And I was like, thank you. That's what I go for.
What is the worst piece of advice you've ever received?
I don't know. Probably... Don't, how can I word this? not to not let people walk over you, but just, you know, keep the peace. Don't talk up to keep the
peace.
Have
a voice.
No, you need to talk up. You need to ruffle some feathers because
that's so
keeping
true,
the peace doesn't help.
We're not here to fucking keep everybody happy.
Mm.
What is something you wish you were better at?
Don't overthink the question.
Being a nervous wreck all the time when it comes to stuff. I'm not overanalyzing,
exactly,
overthinking.
Yeah, ironic.
Yeah.
What never fails
exactly,
to make you
exactly
laugh.
What I'm doing right now. Gosh, people falling over. Someone falling over, I think, has to be the funniest thing ever. Someone falls over in front of me. I can't.
No, bullshit,
I can't
you'll laugh.
Like, you
then
okay?
you'll film.
I will laugh straight
then
up.
You'll ask
so,
if you're okay.
Then I'll ask if you're okay.
All right. So that's amazing. That's our King's questions. But now, Clara, we get the fun part, which I'm starting to really enjoy, which
something
is all the guests
coming up.
Reading from Ed.
So
and,
excited.
And it's funny, guys, because I get a message the other night from Abby because I sent her the lines, and she's like, you know, I'm just reading the stuff that I've got to read for Ed, and it was like really, really good. And then all of a sudden I'm like, you know, she's kind of like realized what she's actually got to read. So I'm excited, guys, because we finally got a little bit of
something
saucy, and Abby's the first one to actually
perfect,
you know,
work.
this is exciting. So look, you read the book. What we're going to do
of
is I'm going to count
I
you
am.
In and then you can just read it. And again, as I say to people, if you tango up, tango on, it doesn't matter. Have fun with it.
Story time, where our guest does a reading from Ed by Chris Sun.
I don't know how you do it, Larry. I seriously don't, Philip muttered from the glass window. Larry lazily stretched out his long legs and placed his booted feet on the edge of the desk with his fingers laced behind his head and simply smiled. It's a gift, my friend. Philip's gaze was still following the woman, like a predator with its prey in sight. Only Philip rarely, if ever, played the predator. In a typical display of depraved male excitement, Philip grabbed his groin and gave it a discreet rub. No shit, it's a gift. I've been trying to close one all week. How many is it now? Larry's feet slipped off from his desk as he sat up straight. 5. His voice was nonchalant, but there was no mistaking the satisfied ego behind his amused eyes and confident grin. Philip was still gazing out of the window, greedily watching the woman as she opened her car door. That's what I mean. Most men are lucky to sell one a month. You're my hero, man. Philip's heart was pumping wildly as his eyes followed the long length of the woman's shapely legs that ended in a pair of sexy red heels. Seriously, you're my fucking ego, he murmured. Through his thoughts were on anything but Larry's impressive sales record. Larry could just make out the woman. She was clearly playing with Philip now, happy with his overt attention. She turned slightly and leaned forward, teasing Philip with a generous view of her amazing tits. Larry's own cock pulsed at the sight of the eager rubbing by Philip's hand that was shoved in one pocket, indicated he was hard as a fucking rock. Yeah, that's it, you dirty little minx, he whispered. Show me. Let me see your love tunnel.
Keep going. It's so good.
Is that it? Is that it? Or you got more?
No, she's got more. More.
Sorry. No, there's more. There's more. Sorry, Mum. Larry somehow refrained from a loud, obnoxious snort over his friend's ridiculous analogy of a woman's pussy. Much to Larry's surprise, though, Philip's pleas were answered when the seductive woman looked directly at the giant looming in the front window, a small smile playing her lips as she ever so slowly sat and parted her thighs to one place, one long leg into the car. Sorry, I messed that up. Obviously noticing the excitement and disbelief on Philip's face, she placed her hand over her mouth in mock embarrassment. And then she swiftly pulled her other leg into the car, slamming the door closed, bringing an official end to their playtime. Oh my God, she's not wearing any underwear, Philip hissed with surprise. Now like a kid in a candy store, he started to bounce on the balls of his feet. Fuck me, Larry, she just Sharon Stoned me. Knowing she had succeeded in giving one lone and pathetic man a little bit of extra stimulation in the day, the woman started the engine and drove off, but not before glancing back and pursing her red lips, blowing a kiss back towards the office of the car yard. Philip groaned, please don't go, please come back. But
that was great.
That was so good.
That was
so.
You know what's interesting?
Love like, tunnel.
I know.
Love tunnel.
Love tunnel. Love tunnel. You want to know what's funny? Love tunnel. I actually said that to a chick probably like many, many years ago. That's so many stories I have. Like when I wrote this book, there's little things that are written in. There's such like bogan, stupid shit to say, but it just makes sense for Larry and Philip.
It's but so funny.
This is the first time I've ever had anybody like, you know, obviously doing this podcast where people read the book back to me. So it's interesting to hear what it sounds like sometimes. It's kind of fun. It's like when you write a script for a movie. It does. Yeah. Like when you write a script for a movie and then all of a sudden all the actors and everybody start reading the script and say, wow, this actually works, or, well, that's really fucked up. So I can't wait.
Oh,
I'm going to have to bring you back again one day just for some, like a really fucked up section. We should just bring you back just to read it, just to read it.
For sure.
But that was, that was well done, babe. You're a little bit nervous about it, but you nailed it. I want to thank you very, very much for coming onto the podcast. You're our third guest, you know, of our show. It's our third of episode. You were amazing. Hopefully we didn't talk about anything that, you know, could get you in trouble. I don't think we did. I really enjoyed it.
Yeah.
Oh, it's phenomenal. I'm going to put up again heaps of pictures and stuff, you know, and the links so people can go check you out. But Abby, thank you so much. I really appreciated you coming on, having fun, having a laugh. Here's to another 15 years, babe, of supporting each other.
Yeah, definitely.
And just keep shining,
thanks,
man.
Thanks for having me.
Oh,
it's been such a pleasure chatting to you. Fascinating, interesting. You got some ghoulish stories. Great energy. So thank you so much for joining us.
Yeah, no, I love it. I could talk about it all night. It's something I have a massive passion for. I can't see myself doing anything else. I really enjoy what I do. It's such an honor to look after these people, even though I dress like a complete weirdo.
There's a lot of respect and passion.
I have a lot of respect and
beautiful.
And a passion for it. So, yeah, I love it. And if I can be a weirdo.
Well, that's right. Yeah. And there comes a time where, you know, like we have all the fun and whatever, but you are passionate about your job. You love your job.
And
you're
very
good at what you do.
So it's nice to know
the respect.
That someone takes care of those bodies of
our
loved ones.
I hope there's some weird looking bitch fucking takes care of me when I'm dead too, you know? Like,
we'll send you
cruises around and I'll grab her fucking hand, you know?
Hey, yeah, I was like, Put it in your will.
Right,
I
should
I will,
do that.
Look
so they fly Abby over so she can fucking, you know, take care of me when I'm dead. But sweetheart, we'll hopefully I don't die soon. Thank you so much.
A long way away.
Yeah,
a long way away. But thank you so much. I love you. Everything you've always been there for me. I'll always be there for you. Have the best. Have the best night. Hopefully we can get you to come back and read another episode, another few chapters of Ed or something down the track. And maybe check in and see what you're up to. So, Clara, you got anything else?
Yeah, no,
you happy?
Thank you so much for joining us, Abby. It's been a joy. So thank you for coming on our show.
Oh, no problem. Thanks for having me.
It was fun.
All right, see you, darling.
This interview is proudly brought to you by Goetia Horror Clothing. Goetia awakens the power of the inner self. Summon it.
Holy shit, Clara. That was cool. I mean, I knew Abby was exciting, but that...
She's and
butt plug.
Oh, but her eyes, spooky. Free.
You're talking about the eyes. I'm talking about the butt plug, the wall mate.
But she was just fascinating. I love chatting to her. She was such a groovy chick.
And she is such a good person. It does show you that people out there, they see these people dressed up like that and think the devil and all these, you know, these negative vibes. And
but she's so
she's
warm
actually the sweetest,
gentle,
night that she
and,
is.
Yeah, no, it was beautiful. Yeah. And the passion and respect that she has for her job as an embalmer in the mortuary is just. You know, it's admirable because it's a hard job. I don't think many people could stomach something like that. And the fact that she has so much respect for the dead is a really beautiful thing. So it was really lovely chatting with her.
Oh, absolutely. She was good value. And yeah, we'll definitely get her back again. And I enjoyed her
reading
reading of Ed. That was fun. That'll be exciting when we drop it in the line. But we got to keep moving. So last week we did our little – guess that movie line, and you did very, very well.
Thank you.
I am going to play the clip. So those of you out there that got it right, you'll know that it was from Friday the 13th. It's when I think her name's Heather. She's on the phone. I can't remember if her name's Heather or not in the movie. I can't remember now. But anyway, maybe that's the actress's name. But the actress in the film, she's on the phone, and she's like, you know, what was the line? Do you remember the line?
I do not remember the line.
It was like, whatever you do, don't fall asleep. It was something like that.
Yeah.
Well, That's right. So we'll play it now. For those who got it, it was definitely Nightmare on Elm Street.
Whatever you do, don't fall asleep.
This week, though, I've got an easy one.
Okay.
All right. I've got an easy one for you. I'm just going to bring it up here on my screen. Mm. So I reckon you'll be able to get this. So have you got a so audience, if you guys know, you know, and look, so many of you are going to get it. Clara, there is a hint as well. We spoke about this tonight. We actually spoke about this tonight somewhere. Well, we dropped a bit of a hint.
Was it Hannibal but Lecter? Anyway.
Clarice.
Any directors out there that are wanting to cast at the moment, you know, hands up.
on that fucking tongue noise you just did? Yeah, well, yeah, let's all line up to give her a role. Weird.
Yeah.
All right. Here's the line. Mm-hmm. Are you ready?
I've got a pen.
Okay. I do wish we could chat longer, but I'm having an old friend for dinner. I do wish we could chat longer.
Yeah, but.
But I'm having an old friend for dinner.
Male or female?
Male.
Is it?
This is an easy
one. Is it Hannibal Lecter?
What the fuck are you telling the audience what it is for?
I don't know. Hey, I still have to do the competition.
All right, well, we're going to. All right, guys, it is Hannibal. Let's see if she can deliver it like Hannibal, though.
Oh, God.
So this one's an easy one this week. I wanted to keep it simple for you. Let's see how you go. I don't even need to set the scene. I don't need to do anything. You know what the movie is.
Yeah, I know, but I've only ever seen the movie once a long time ago.
Well, that's good. I'm not going to give you nothing else because you know what the movie is, so you're on your own. Mm-hmm. But it is Hannibal Lecter. All right, mm-hmm. So Clara, you get one shot at this in 3, 2, 1, action.
I do wish we could chat longer. But I'm having an old friend for dinner.
I'll give you another shot.
Okay.
Pretend you're Hannibal. Talk like Hannibal.
I can't remember how he talks.
Is you ready?
Oh, no, that's Darth Vader.
Just
I fucking don't Darth know.
Vader. What the fuck has Darth Vader got to do with Hannibal Lecter? All right, just make up your own Hannibal voice. Ready? Your own Hannibal voice. In 3, 2, action.
I do wish we could chat longer. But I'm having an old friend for dinner. I think I fucked that up.
Actually, that kind of sounds like Bela Lugosi from Dracula, the first one.
I don't know. 1931. Because I've got him in my head and I'm like, oh, but he's so like poised and articulate and like he's such a... I can't do an Anthony Hopkins because he's so brilliant. It's unfair.
You did well.
I guess
you
I failed very, very the well. Audition.
So, yeah, you failed that one. And the fact you fucking worked it out and then told the audience what it was. So the audience can't even bloody, you know, guess on that one. So next week I'm going to find a hard one for you that we can go back to, you know, confusing the shit out of you. So that one's Hannibal Lecter. Last week was Friday the 13th. And the very first one, well, that was Bela Lugosi from Dracula 1931, which you did pretty good.
That was pretty good.
Yeah. But... Babe, that's me. I'm done. I mean, what an episode. That was fun. We just knocked out our third episode ever. Woo! I mean, well done.
I'm so excited. Happy days. And we've got some more great guests coming up in the following weeks. But for now, it's over and out. Thanks for tuning in with us this week. Tune in with us next week with Up to Nuts and Guts. I'm Clara Helms and this is Chris Sun on that side. Bye.
See you next time, legends. That doesn't matter. It bloody sounded beautiful. See you next week, legends.
Bye.